If you've been following my weekly trainings in our Get More Clients with Your Content Facebook group, you would know all about the honey trap method. This is the method that helps you get more clients with your content. And one very important piece of it is what I call the bridge funnel. The bridge funnel is essentially the place where you are sending all your people to, your audience to, from your content event. It could be a lead magnet, a workshop, a webinar, a masterclass, somewhere where you are building your list and quickly nurturing them into a sale. Now, I am the first to admit that building bridge funnels is not an area of expertise for me. I've certainly done a ton of them in my time, but I wouldn't say that it's something that I can confidently teach, which is where today's guest, Adam Shubley, comes in. Adam specializes in a particular type of bridge funnel called the Limited Series Podcast Funnel that is not only a really effective lead magnet and conversion sequence, but it also has the ability to get discovered on its own inside of podcast players. Talk about a win-win, right? So if you've been feeling a little bit stuck about what bridge funnel to lead your audience to, whether from your own podcast or from your guest interviews or speaking gigs, then you'll want to pay attention to Adam's Limited Series Podcast Funnel strategy. My name is Deidre Shen, CEO and co-founder of Capshow, the fastest way to create content that gets you clients, and this is Win the Content Game. Adam, you blew my mind with just how much attention and strategy you put behind how to help people have their podcasts actually make them money. And on Win the Content Game is like, how do we put really great content out there and have it get us more clients, i.e. more revenue? So we are completely aligned on our mission to help people out there. That's why I got so excited when I met you and heard what you're doing. So this episode, Adam, we are going to be going into one of your one piece of your overall strategy, because you teach a lot, and which blows my mind. But I really wanted you to talk about the Limited Series Podcast Funnel.
I can kind of kick off with the origin story of how I got this idea, because you hear Limited Series Podcast or a mini podcast or a pop-up podcast. There are a lot of those out there, and that verbiage is thrown around. But I really feel like people that have been doing those are just kind of like, I'll say it, lazy podcasters. They're like, I only want to have 6 episodes and let's just see what happens. It's like a test podcast. So I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is putting out something that turns into a client acquisition funnel, a ideal listener lead magnet that transforms those listeners into ideal clients. And that's the purpose of this. So it's not to have a test podcast or a sample podcast or a mini pod or anything like that. And I've got a very specific strategy around this. And actually, I came up with this idea working with clients. I knew of the pop-up podcast technique. And one of my clients was like, I think I want to launch a new show, but I've got my original show and I really don't want to have 2 podcasts, you know. What do you think? And I was like, well, let's try this thing. What do you actually want to accomplish? She goes, I want to drive traffic to an evergreen course and have it be kind of like a funnel. And I'm like, let's experiment a little bit here. And we ended up creating this show as a limited series. I go, I really think this needs to be standalone, around 20 episodes. We view it like an audio course, like a free audio course lead magnet. And then we just direct people down this funnel to where they are, you know, putting this great offer with a little sweet deal in front of them. And let's see how it works. And it worked really well. And then I did it again with another client. And then I was like, I got to quit messing around and do one of these myself. So I launched my Limited Series Podcast Funnel last August, 2023. And, you know, my main show is Podcasting Business School. And I do 2 episodes a week there. So I've got my main hub where I do a lot of, I get a lot of clients from that as well, but I wanted to specifically create a program that a podcast funnel that led into my signature offer, which deals with helping podcasters convert listeners into clients. So I built this thing out, and we can definitely get into the specifics, because I know you got a lot of questions about it, but the result and the test I did was the cool thing. So normally when we launch a new show, we are telling everybody and we're like on all the socials and begging people to follow and subscribe. I didn't do any of that on purpose. I go, I think I've got my what I call organic discoverability game pretty strong. I think people are going to find this without me telling anybody. So I launched it on a Thursday, 21 episodes, all live, all at once. No new episodes after that. And between Thursday and Tuesday, I had acquired $6,000 of new clients in from Thursday to Tuesday without telling anybody. So I had enough people that found the show, binge listened to every episode, and bought evergreen courses or the evergreen option within 4 days without me marketing it at all. And I was like, that's the testimonial I was looking for.
And it's even better when you're making money too. All right, I just wanted to set the context for everyone listening to this. As you know, there is what I call the bridge funnel as part of the honey trap method. By the way, if you don't know what I'm talking about, come and join the weekly trainings in our Facebook group, which we'll leave the link to in the show notes. Every time you are creating content, whether on your own stage, like your podcast or YouTube channel or on someone else's, you need to be leading your audience to a bridge funnel, which is how you actually start capturing leads and converting them into clients. And so when Adam was talking about his limited series podcast funnel, I was like, oh my gosh, like there are a ton of like lead magnet ideas and other conversion vehicles out there and all these things. I feel like I've done them all, but this and the way that Adam does it, I have actually not done. So I'm really excited, Adam, to dive into what it is, like what specifically the limited series podcast funnel is and how we actually get people there. And then I'll have some questions at the end, but yeah, we'll get to this. So can you start us off with like, talk to us about what it is and why it works so well?
Yeah. So the first key thing that you have to determine with this technique, with this funnel building technique, is what offer are we sending them to? Like that, because it all has to peel off of that. So for me, I was like, I want people to go to my signature offer where I have the do-it-yourself or the done-with-you option. So there's different price points. And that's the offer I love for people to start with. I'm like, I want more of those people because this is my wheelhouse offer and they get the best results if they start there. So I'm like, all right. So that ideal avatar is the person that has already launched a show and they want to leverage their podcast to attract ideal listeners that become ideal clients and the client conversion happens off of the show. So I was like, all right, that's the offer. And I go, okay, now I need a 21 episode audio course. It's like 21 appetizers that if the right person finds this, they just start binge listening. They're like, oh my God, episode one. Yes, that's an aha moment. Episode two, aha moment. And then they're building momentum. And all the episodes, I came up with 25 topics. And I go, all right, I want to do 21 episodes. What's the order? I combined a few of them to make it into 21 because I wanted each episode to be 10 minutes or less. There were a couple that went over a little bit, but the bingeability factor was really important.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask, why 21? Is that a magic number for you?
With my clients, we did one at 15 and one at 18. So I kind of came in and the 18 episode one did really well. I was like, all right. When you talk about marketing exposures, people are like, they need to see something 18 times or 20 times or whatever. And a lot of these pop-up podcasts are like 5 or 6 episodes. I'm like, I don't think they're getting enough exposures there for what they're trying to do. So I kind of set a target of 20 to 25. I ended up at 21. I'm like 21 with the episodes, the way the lessons, I wanted to look like an online course, basically like an audio course. So that made sense. So when I do this with clients, we shoot for 20 to 25 episodes, 10 minutes or less, highly bingeable. So it kind of, and it has a flow, a definite like point A to point B to point C. It's not random. All solo episodes, 10 minutes or less, expert positioning. There are no interviews. That's one of the big client conversion mistakes in the podcasting industry. People are coaches, consultants, service providers, and they're like, I'm not getting any clients for my show. I go, do you only do interviews? Yes. I'm like, well, the person you're interviewing is the expert, not you. And that's why people aren't buying your stuff because you're not viewed as the expert. So with this, only solos, bingeable audio course style content, I put a new fresh testimonial at the beginning of every single episode. So as people are binging, the first audio they hear, it's not a fancy song. It's not me saying anything. It is a client that has gotten a great result. That's the first audio every single episode. So you know, like you, we met at that event. At events, when I speak on stage, I'm putting this, it's called Podcast Monetization Tips for Online Coaches, Consultants, and Service Providers. That's the name of the limited series podcast. I put that image up on the screen. I go, you guys need to download this. Go ahead, hit the follow button and download all the episodes right now so you can listen to it on the way home. So as everybody flies home, they're binge listening. They're hearing me teach 21 times. They're hearing 21 different testimonials, but also in the call to action, I'm very specific and strategic with that. So my first 7 episodes, I'm pushing the call to action to grab the workbook, the companion workbook for the podcast, because I give homework assignments in every single episode. It's one topic, one homework assignment, go to the workbook. So now they're on my email list, and I've got an email funnel that goes alongside with the audio content. So we make sure we get them on the email list. The middle 7 episodes, I push for a discovery call. Like, hey, this is the call to action I want you to take now. If you're thinking about taking some action on this and need some help, let's hop on a discovery call. The last 7 episodes, I push to a sweet, sweet deal to my evergreen offer. I'm like, hey, save $500 if you use the code whatever, and you're going to save on the signature offer. So we're kind of layering that in there. So what was happening on that initial 4 days of launching without telling anybody, people discovered it organically, and I'll get to how that happened here in a second. They organically discovered it without me telling anybody. They were searching the right words. My show pops up. Interesting name. Let's go. Binge listen, testimonial, expert positioning, very specific and simple calls to action. They're on the email list. That starts to work its magic alongside the audio. I had people that said they listened to it twice in 4 days, all of the episodes twice.
Wow.
And so that's 42 testimonials, 42 moments with me, all those calls to action. And that just worked the magic to where we kind of cut through all the clutter of exposure points all in one whack there. And they were just signing up. So that's kind of how the funnel all pieces together. But I'll pause there. I definitely want to cover some like mistakes that we want to avoid. And I want to talk about organic discoverability too.
Yeah, for sure. Let's get into that, because those are the things that came up for me because I actually just got off a bit of a training about just more broadly like lead magnets and different bridge funnel vehicles. Now, the cool thing about what you're saying is that not only is this strategy can be a bridge funnel vehicle, but in and of itself, it can just be the thing that you put out there that gets discovered without needing to drive discoverability through a content event. So it can work as both, which is really, really cool. So, and what I was saying about all of these vehicles is that like, they sound simple, but a lot of times not. I'm sure for you, you must have done a lot of testing. You would have done a lot of optimization to get to the point where you're like, yep, this is how we laid it out and went ahead. So can you talk to us a little bit about that and what were some of those mistakes that you made and we should definitely avoid?
Yes. So I immediately saw it when I launched my show and then had a lot of success. And then I, of course, unpack everything on my main show, Podcasting Business School, which has a larger listener base because it's been around forever. And then I started seeing all these pop up. People are just trying it. You know, I was like, I'm seeing some mistakes happen here and there. So a couple of big ones. One is I want all the episodes live all at once, all at the same time, because Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the algorithm and the SEO factor, it works a lot like social media. So a bolus of activity on that platform levels us up in the algorithm. So if you post on Instagram, you get a lot of comments and a lot of action, more people see it. Same thing happens with the podcast, especially with a new podcast. So like when I started promoting the show, so that next week I started promoting it, and I ended up at, I think, position number 53 in the Apple top 100 entrepreneurship podcast. I'm right behind Russell Brunson, ClickFunnels.
That's okay? Cool.
Yep. Right behind him. I was pushing. I'm like, I want to get in front of Russell. Like, I couldn't nudge right in front of him. And this is like a brand new show. But the reason that I was able to shoot up in the rankings, I was promoting it hard, but people weren't downloading one episode. They were downloading 21 episodes. That's a lot of activity. I had this huge bolus of activity because I'm marketing on my social and my email list. So I shoot up the rankings. When you shoot up the rankings in Apple and Spotify, that juices the algorithm even more. So when people are searching your keywords, you're popping up because you're creating the most activity. So it all fed into each other. And that was huge. But I see a lot of people that are like, I'm going to release one episode a week for 21 weeks. And that's okay. But optimal, the binge factor is huge. The fact that I had 21 episodes and people were listening to them all, some people listened to it more than once in 4 days without me telling anybody, that worked. If you only have one episode or four episodes or whatever, that binge factor, it's not there. So that's one technique that I see people messing up. The other technique that's a little bit difficult to pull off, because you have to kind of think backwards, is normally we release an episode on Apple, like I just released episode 481. That is at the top of the feed on Apple. Episode one is at the bottom of the feed. So you need to upload all your episodes in reverse order so that episode one shows up at the top. You know what I'm saying? So I want people to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 down that way. I don't want them to see episode 21 first. I want them to see episode one first. So you have to load them up in reverse order, which is a whole like mental ninja trick to do, because you want them all live on the same day. So what I did was I schedule episode 21 to go live at midnight. Then I schedule episode 20 to go live at 12:30 a.m. I put half an hour in between them just so there was no like wrong order mix up. So you need to space out when they're going so they don't get, then if they get in mixed order, now we got a whole new problem to deal with, which is super annoying. So we want them in reverse order so they can binge listen from 1 to 21. And that helps a ton with just ease of binging, and it totally makes sense. Now, episode 1, you want to make sure that you have some language in the title that says start here. Start here with this limited series podcast. So, like something that's very obvious, because this is different. Like, ooh, why is episode 1? It's not normal. So make sure it's obvious there. And then the last episode, just in case somebody for some reason discovers that, or a podcast player gets, who knows, I put, you know, verbally on that episode, I go, hey, if this is the first one you're listening to, you need to go back to episode 1, because this is, there's a sequence here. So I kind of bookended it with instructions on this is, there's a correct way to go through this and get optimized results, and there's a wrong way to do it. So let's do it the correct way. So we kind of bookended it with that. Now, the number one thing, the number one mistake that people make across podcasting in general, this is not with just limited series podcasts, this is all podcasts, but it's especially important for this because we aren't releasing new episodes, 21 and done. And this podcast, this show has brought me at least $1,000 of new clients every single week since August of 2023. Wow. Without no new episodes. No, I mean, I'll run a few like podcast player app ads to it, and I'll mention it when I speak on stage. But otherwise, it's just some weeks I get a big boost. I'm like, wow, this is great. So that's been awesome. But the number one mistake across all podcast efforts is that the name of the show is the number one reason why your ideal listeners aren't finding you. And this is all that organic discoverability factor that I talked about. I don't even use SEO, that term, because I feel like people get their brains mixed up with YouTube and web SEO and podcast discoverability. You could call it podcast search optimization, is different, because the only thing I'm concerned with is what people are putting in that search bar on Apple and Spotify. That's all I'm worried about. I'm not worried about YouTube keywords. I'm not worried about web, none of it. And Rob from Libsyn is somebody that I lean into a lot with his information, and he backs this up. Like, the words make a lot of difference, but the first word in the title makes the most difference. That's the bit that has the most searchability power. So if the first word in your podcast title is the, you're screwed. If it's a number, you're screwed. If it's podcasting, winner. If it's business, if it's entrepreneurship, if it's personal growth, if it's marketing, that's what we want as the first word of our title. So for my limited series podcast, it's podcast monetization tips for online coaches, consultants, and service providers. So my rules for an effective podcast title, whether it's a limited series podcast or a regular podcast, I've got three rules, and these always work. First rule, when I read it, I want to know exactly what it's about. Exactly. Okay? So podcast monetization tips for online coaches, consultants, service providers. I know exactly what that's about. Rule number two, I want to know exactly who it's for. It's for coaches, consultants, service providers. Rule number three, I want at least two search terms, aka keywords. So podcast monetization, I got balloons popping up. Podcast monetization, online coaches, consultants, surf. I have five search terms in that title, and that's why I blew up. Podcasting Business School is another. If you search podcasting tips anywhere, Podcasting Business School shows up. Podcast monetization tips also will. And that's huge.
I wish I'd met you before we rebranded to Win the Content Game, because I don't think win, I mean win, but it's there's a lot of different meanings to that and to different people. So, okay, well, I know that when we implement this particular funnel, we're going to be taking that into account for sure. Do you have, like, is there a word limit that we need to be within?
Okay, this is another way that I think differently, because you hear so many podcast coaches that are like, podcast title must be 2 or 3 words max.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like, guess what, bro? Like Podcasting Business School, that's not the full name of my show. I've got what I call a title extension. So for your show, for this show, when you're kind of locked into a brand, you go like Podcasting Business School, : online marketing, entrepreneurship, and online business building tips for podcasters. Like I have all that in there, and it doesn't matter because my brand is Podcasting Business School. My website, like all that, it's not a part, it doesn't play a part anywhere else in the title line of my podcast for discoverability, because I want those words in there. You can even just go semicolon and just list 3 terms: online marketing, social media, content marketing. Boom. And you, if you do that, Deirdre, with this show, I bet you double your downloads in 30 days.
All right. Crazy.
It's crazy. Organic discoverability is half of the growth game, and people aren't taking advantage of it. And like I said, like, okay, so I'm just wrapping up a certification, a first ever certification I'm really excited about. It's a podcast growth coach certification. So I've got all these podcast service providers and podcast coaches and editing production type people. They're coming in and getting certified by me as podcast growth coaches. I'm teaching them all this stuff, and I'm hooking them up with all these practice clients, and their practice clients are doubling their downloads just from this organic discoverability stuff. We change the words in their title and their art a little bit to feature those right words in the title, and it blows people's minds. Like, the art for my limited series podcast does not have a giant picture of my face on it. I've got a big face, and it takes up a lot of room, and I want the words to be the star of the show. Like, when people search podcast monetization or podcasting tips, I want them to see those words on the art clearly, thick, legible. It's hot pink on my art. I don't have, like, the words have to be the star of the show, so that people that are searching those terms, they go, oh, that's the word I just searched. That's a word. I'm an online entrepreneur. I'm a content creator. That word is on that art. Now I get the first click, you know, and I get the first dibs on that. And that's why my strategies, they really, really work. So that's the number one mistake. We gotta don't put all this effort into your regular show or for a limited series podcast funnel and then mess it up. That's like playing football, like American football, and getting to the 5-yard line and just throwing the ball out of bounds and be like, oh, that was good enough. Like, score the freaking touchdown and get the art and the name right.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So if we just, and in your mind, the description, things like that, like, not as important as just focus on the name and the art.
So when it comes to organic discoverability, I look at 3 zones. I look at the name, art are kind of the same to me. And then the host description is the second most powerful part of that. All the keywords. We want all of the, like, make your list of 10 terms that you want to show up for, not on Google necessarily, not on YouTube necessarily, but the search bar. And you got to ask your podcast listeners, go, hey, do you remember what you were looking for on Apple or Spotify when you found my show? Or you put up an Instagram poll. If you were looking for a show like mine, what word would you search? Like, fill in the box and make sure we're using those words. That's how I figured out podcasting tips. Everybody I talked to was like, I was looking for podcasting tips or podcasts about podcasting. Those were the words. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I got to use that in my title, but I got to have that all over my host description. With my host description, I've got a 2-part strategy. One is the normal paragraph about the show, who I am, but we keyword stuff the heck out of that. Then I go, this show is for you if you are asking questions such as, and I list like 10 questions that people would ask on Google. Mm-hmm. So that now we're kind of getting that Googlification aspect going in. And then the third zone we look at are names of episodes. So I'm like, these keywords, they got to be in there. I put podcasting tips in almost every single episode title. Podcasting tips for online marketing, podcasting tips for email list building, podcasting tips for client acquisition. And when I give this advice to clients, there's kind of a traffic jam in their mind, like, isn't that redundant with the episodes and people don't like it? I'm like, no, they're coming to me for the podcasting tips. They want the tips. And so I'm giving them the tips. So we kind of have to reverse engineer our psychology a little bit there, because what we think isn't what is actually happening. Like, give them what they want and label it. So that's very obvious that this is more of what you want. This is another helping of what you want. So those are the three zones I really focus in on. Individual episode show notes to some capacity. I make sure I get the right terms in there, but I don't spend a ton of time on that. Like I really don't. I mean, as long as you feel like you got a good, some using AI or whatever resources we have, feel like that's your wheelhouse, not mine. And we've got, but making sure we got a base amount of the right words. If you have a guest on, all their information, and we're kind of good to go there. So that would be kind of a fourth zone if we have time to spend on that with our podcasting routine.
Yeah. Or just use Capshow as so just
make it easy.
That's a super easy way to get the show notes out. Yeah. Okay. Last question, I think, is really about the content that we, so you mentioned kind of 10 minutes, start with a testimonial. Now, is there any ninja tactics that you have apart from just give value and make sure that people go away with at least like with one aha from that episode? Is there anything else that you kind of think about or choreograph in the content that you create?
Well, really making sure there's a flow from episode to episode. So they're building something. Excuse me. So we're going from like part A to part F or whatever. And we're going to, I want them to feel momentum. So they're like, I got to click on the next episode so we can just learn the next thing. Mm. And so that's a big part of it. I think 10 minutes or less, like really the average podcast listener listens to shows, not on 1X, but like 1.25 or 1.5. So they're able to really crank through all that pretty quickly. And if you, sorry, I'm not getting emotional over here. Online marketing just makes me emotional. No, the allergy season has really crept up in Missouri is what it actually is. So you increase that bingeability and really facilitate that. And again, just imagine somebody listening to my show, 21 episodes on a plane ride, and they hear 21 testimonials in 21. I'll have one call to action every episode. That's another pro tip. Like, don't give them all the things all at once. One. Mm. So the little sandwich that happens is testimonial, audio, intro with a specific call to action. It's not like a jazzy little ringtone song or anything like that. It's just like, it's a very specific call out. Hey, make sure you download the workbook to implement the homework from today's episode, or make sure if you're ready to get to action, hop on a discovery call or whatever. Then there's the content, 10 minutes. Then at the end, outro, same call to action. Marry it to the intro. Simple. In podcasting in general, I just put out an episode this week on Podcasting Business School about call to action best practices. And I created a really cute video with my daughter, who is awesome. She's 9 years old. And she played the role of the frustrated podcast listener. And I was giving all the calls to action. I was like, and follow me on LinkedIn and hit me up on YouTube and say hi on the gram. And then make sure you check out my MySpace page from 2001 and write me a handwritten letter, link in the bio. Or, we do that. We kind of call to action puke on people a mm-hmm. lot. And if we do that, they won't take any action. So it's bingeable content, building momentum, one call to action, keep it simple. Lots of expert positioning. You put all that in a bowl, mix it up, add some herbs and spices. We get clients on the other side once it comes out the oven.
Love it. That is so, so cool. Oh my gosh. Okay. So this has been amazing, Adam. I can't wait to get into this series in Win the Content Game. We are going to commit to doing this. For people who, because I listened to your limited series podcast funnel, for people who want to see it in action, tell them where they can find your podcast funnel.
So if you just search podcasting tips on any podcast player, you're going to be able to find it. But if you want to get it, make sure you get it right. Search podcast monetization tips. It's a black background with hot pink text, and it's hard to miss. And just dig on in. And I've got trainings and things on how to do this on podcastingbusiness.school. That's my main website. But the experience at first, even if people are like, I want to hire you to help me build out this funnel, I'm like, experience mine first. So that you understand what it is and you can kind of feel the power of it and the momentum, because then they're like, you'll really understand how much work it does take. It's not something like, it took me 6 months to build that thing, to build out the concept and mm-hmm. do it all. But now we got, Deirdre, you're going to be able to knock this out, like quick turnaround. But it's something that like to get every piece working together so that the testimonial marries to the episode topic and the episode topic builds onto the next one. And then the email list is building on all the episode topics and referring back into the episode topics as a little, hey, reminder, if you haven't listened to this one yet, you need to go back and get that one. And it really took a while to get that exact recipe right. But now that it is right, yeah, it's really working for people. And it's great for somebody that does have, like, I will probably eventually have one of these funnels going for each of my main offers. So I'll have two to three of these, and it's very doable.
Yeah.
You put it out there, it's a content event, it's bringing people in, we're funneling them, we're building expert positioning, we're building momentum. And like I said, clients kind of come out the oven on the other side.
How cool was that? And oh, so doable. In fact, Adam has left Bonner and I some homework, which we will be going through in next week's episode of Win the Content Game when we talk about implementing this strategy. We have left the link to Adam's limited series podcast funnel in the show notes, or you know, you can just search it. You know that now by going into your podcast player and putting the terms podcast monetization tips into it. My name is Deidre Shen, and as always, stay intelligently lazy.